Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets and the news that moves the markets. And there's a fair bit of news this week, ending off first quarter and starting the month of April here on Happy Tariff Day. So April 2nd is Tariff Day, apparently.
Liberation Day. Let's get it right here. Yeah.
I don't know if I'm buying into Liberation Day.
And birthday.
And Miles's birthday.
Yes.
Miles, happy birthday, buddy. Yeah.
Thanks, Rob. I mean, you're an Irish guy born on St. Patrick's Day. I kind of enjoyed not having to share my birthday with anything else. I know you've had to live with that curse your whole life. So now I've got to live. I'm Tariff Guy. So that's okay. So I'll deal with it. So happy April 2nd, Tariff Day. I know it's the day after that you guys are listening to this, but we're recording here today. So here we go. Let's take a quick look at the charts just over the last week, as we tend to do. Gold up about 3.5%, sitting at $3,125. Looking pretty strong, boys, with gold pushing and holding above that 3,100 mark, despite doing it on a pretty aggressive push up. So we'll certainly see if we're going to continue that move, and we're going to talk about that here in a few minutes. Silver, not quite as good, but not bad either, up about 0.5%, sitting just under $34 at the moment, $33.80. Platinum, up about 1%. At $9.75. And the neck and neck race goes back to palladium this week, up 1.5% to $9.78. So I think there was a $1 difference last week with platinum ruling by a dollar. This week, palladium takes a commanding $3 lead in the foot race. Since we've been talking about it for a little bit, I did think it was worth at least mentioning copper down 3.5% this week and sitting at $5.01, just over $5 this week. So the equities market's mostly down, but only slightly. The S&P down about 0.5%. It's sitting at 6.70. Now, over this past week, we did have an intraday, so a little bounce midday, but we did have an intraday lowest price in the S&P since September. The Dow is also down about 0.5% to 42,200. It also hit its September lows, but it did it about a week ago, so the Dow seems to be leading the S&P. Both of them are on a little bit of a bounce, but it is still not looking great for either of the major market indices. And anytime I see the S&P or the Dow kind of running one direction or the other like they have been, I do like to look at the transportation average. The transports actually bounce, but that's because they put in a low prior to the industrials or the S&P. They're up just under 1%, around 15,000. Now, the transports didn't put in a lower price going back to September. The transports actually put in a lower price going back to the end of 2023. So we're looking at the transports at the lowest price here in, what's that, a year and a half now. So the equities markets are still not looking great. I think a good portion of that, you know, Rob, you and I were talking before we started recording here this morning, and there are a couple different things we like to look at on this show. Obviously, we do like to look at the technicals and the charts and how the market is really reacting to things on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis. But we also like to talk about the fundamentals and how the fundamentals within the overlying market tend to shape those charts as we go through time. And the third thing we like to talk about is the seasonals, which is a great time as we're ending this quarter here, moving from winter, spring into the spring to summer quarter, moving into April here. So guys, big week. Do we want to talk technicals, fundamentals, or seasonals first? Where do you guys want to start?
Let's talk briefly, since you brought up the quarter. What a quarter for each of those four metals.
Yeah.
I mean, we would take this quarter every quarter. We would take this quarter every year for a year.
It's so, a year's worth of quarter.
It is. That's right. So gold up 19% on the quarter, silver 17%. I mean, that's a great start. Platinum and palladium up 8% and 5% respectively for the quarter. And so that's actually really exciting news, even though it's piggybacked on uncertainty and unknowns and market instability, if you will, in other sectors. But so go ahead from there, Miles, with that brief quarterly recap for the listener.
Yeah, I don't know, Tori. That also makes me nervous because you're looking at those types of price increases in gold. That's great for my gold position, but boy, that's kicking me in the shins when I go to the grocery store.
Well, that's a good point because all the equities for the quarter are down between 2 and 10%,
yeah.
Right? Depending on the index. And you're right, the prices are starting to climb back up. So we'll talk about that later on the show.
So we'll see if that holds. So there are a couple things I want to look at this week, just from a technical standpoint. I don't always dig into a chart every week unless I think it's a picture that I like to paint. So I wanted to talk a little bit about silver this week, if you guys are up for it, because I think the most common question I get from my clients is, so when's silver going to do that thing? Anybody? Bueller? When's silver going to do that? And my answer is always the same thing. I mean, hey, there's a reason we call silver poor man's gold. It's gold generally will reach a price where the average investor still wants it en masse. It can't just be the gold buyers. It's got to be the en masse market moving into the metals. And deciding or realizing either A, there's none available like COVID, or B, it's just priced us out of the market like it did in 2009, 2010. And then we see silver play catch up, and what a catch up it is. So I've been warning people, unless you're done buying, which I'm not, you really don't want to see silver play catch up until you're done buying, because you know you probably got about 6 to 9 months left. So with that being said, I do like to take a look at the silver market because I'm still an avid silver buyer. I'm going to continue to be an avid silver buyer as long as we have these ratios in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I know you guys are too, and I know a lot of our clients are taking advantage of that also. And the trick is to just be patient here. So a couple weeks ago, we talked pretty significantly about what I think is the real high in silver. I don't think the real high in silver is 50, even though that is technically the high, or 49 and change. I think the real number that matters is 35. Mm-hmm. So I've been looking at the silver chart here, and we've been taking this beautiful step-up pattern since about the end of February. You know, we bottomed in February around $31 in silver after taking another nice rise going back to December. You know, we started at 28 and change. We ended at 33. We came down to around 31 or a little under, and we've taken this nice second step upwards. So I've been looking at the silver chart, and we've put in, since we've put in new higher pricing in silver here in March, we put in two nice strong steps up. Tori, one thing we talked about yesterday is putting together kind of some quarterly numbers and looking at, say, where we could have some retracement levels, because we've had so much growth in the metals market. Unless we're in runaway territory, you've got to see something pull back here. The market needs to take a breather, whether it sits sideways, whether we correct, I don't know. But it needs to take a little bit of a breather, and I keep kind of waiting for that to happen. And every time I wait, gold goes up another $50. So
right.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I've been looking at the silver price here, and we've already taken these two really nice steps upward towards 35. We just had a little bit of retracement that bottomed probably yesterday at around 33.50. And I think it's likely we might hit that 35 number on this go-around. Now, I think we'll see a little resistance. And this is where I get to play fantasy land with my charts and say, okay, if I could, you know, if I controlled the silver market just for fun, what do I think is the most beautiful picture I could paint here with the silver price? So there's three things I see in here. One is this third drive up, and good old fashioned Elliott Wave three drives pattern on a bull market push leading into a correction. A third drive up would be a nice straight line all the way up to the $35 price you can see on the chart here. The nice thing about that $35 price is if we go back to the beginning of the year where we put the bottom in and we draw out our Fibonacci corrections, that gives us a 382 correction down around 32.5, 3260, 3265. Somewhere right in there. It lines up with some previous highs and lows, some points we've traded back and forth on. So there's a very good chance that's a healthy number there as a support level. So that's the second thing I see on the silver chart right here. And the third thing, again, going back to that low at the end of December, beginning of January, and we draw a rising trend line or floor, we've got a bottom in, at the end of December, we've got another one at the end of January, we've got another one at the end of February. Wouldn't it be neat if we see another one in sometime in April? And all of those prices, your 382 fib coming off a solid Elliott wave correction into a reversal, and your rising trend line, they all crisscross right in between about 3240 and 3270. So you've got this kind of trading range there where people who trade fibs are going to place a purchase there. People who trade Elliott Wave are going to place a purchase there. People who trade just the price action of gold up and down and are looking for reversal levels or previous highs and lows would place a purchase there. So, and when I'm looking for pullback ranges, what I'm saying is, charting is tiny little microcosm religions where people get hyper fixated on the way they do thing. And the thing I've always tried to do is say, okay, well, where do all of those people line up and agree? What's that price? Where are the Elliott waves and the fib guys and the stochastic guys? And, you know, where are all those guys who have their little cloistered belief system? Where are all of them placing a trade at the same time? So for me, I really like seeing any market chart, and especially something like silver, which has been incredibly strong. Not quite as strong as gold, but let's be honest, it's been incredibly strong. And I think is probably providing the slightly better opportunity here when we do finally get to that pricing points where the general public gets involved in silver. Where do we see the opportunities in that? So if I get to paint my perfect picture of what I want the world to look like over the next couple weeks, it's a silver correction back to around 3250 to 3275 and providing us an opportunity there. So I don't do this too often because I really don't want to be a price picker. But for me, it's not really about picking the right price. It's about painting a beautiful picture. And that's kind of something that's gotten me excited here this week. So forgive me, those of you out there. I can tell you I'm still buying silver every 2 weeks in my vaulted account. I ain't waiting for that price. But that's my Mona Lisa smile on the silver chart if it ends up playing out that way. So thanks for the soapbox, guys. This concludes my TED Talk. I appreciate it.
Well, we'll see what happens. All those numbers kind of go out the window if we blow through that 35 resistance, right? I mean, that's always a possibility too, where you've said before that if we break north of 35, put on your seatbelt because we're going probably pretty unchecked to about 38. Am I putting words in your mouth or is that?
No, I think you're right. There's some longer term reasons why 35 matters that we covered a little bit on the show a couple weeks ago, but just quick recap. It's because everything above 35 happened so quickly and it was so long ago that really the reason you see specific immediate reversals at a price range is it's not because people are sitting at their computer hovering their finger over the mouse button. Those are orders that were placed at a market limit that are just waiting to get filled. And the odds that anybody is sitting at $50 sell orders from 15 years ago on silver is about zero. Nobody's been waiting for 15 years for those sell orders to fill. So I don't see any real reason that anybody would be sitting at transactions above the 35 level, which has provided a much stronger ceiling over the last 15 years. So yeah, that's the number for me. 35 is the breakout number.
And that's in the world of trading, right? That's not in the world of the physical silver owner that was buying in 2005, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You know, as it hit that all-time high, there are plenty of us, me included, that still own silver that was purchased north of 40.
Yeah.
And I couldn't care less. And a lot of people will say, well, you know, like you guys started, when is silver going to catch up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what we've seen so far in the precious metal sector, and let me switch for a second over to gold, that gold price at 3130, 3120, that's been driven top down from the big banks, the central banks, the money center banks, the hedge funds. This is money being repatriated from Zurich and London back to New York, covering their short positions, taking possession of their gold. This market is driven top down. And what Miles talked about, switching back to silver being the poor man's gold, when the buying public enters back into the market in mass, we have not seen that during this rally.
Especially in the West.
Especially here in the West. And thank you. Especially here in the West. And when the Western buyer shows up, which direction are they going to go? Gold or silver? They're going to go to silver because the Western buyer loves silver. It is the poor man's gold. And that bottom-up trend, which I think you'll see will be skewed towards silver, is the big fundamental that I keep looking for.
Yeah, and with the ratio at 92 to 1, it screams buy silver. Yep. We could keep going north in the interim, yep. Right? I mean, we had a 3-point pop just in a week in that ratio, 89 a week ago to and 92. Now 92, and yep. That's good. But very few people know gold's up 40% year over year. Silver's up over 30%, 31%. Yep. That's a huge year for silver. So it's not like it's not performing. It's just not keeping the same pace, which is why the ratio has gone higher. But if you look at the 5-year performance on both metals, gold's up 98%. That's incredible. It's doubled in 5 years. Well, silver, 147%. So it's dwarfed the gold performance in a 5-year period of time. And so again, all of that depends on your starting point.
Yeah.
But give it a chance here. And silver, just like we've talked about with copper and other metals, still far more expensive than they were 5 years ago as a result of all of the inflationary, monetary, and fiscal policies that Washington has been putting us through.
And they're going to have to continue to put us through it. I mean, $9 trillion worth of treasuries has to be refinanced in the next few months. Treasury runs out of money by the fall, October, September. They're projected to have no money in the coffers. So they are going to have to continue a policy that has brought us here that we knew was unsustainable, but they'll have to raise the debt ceiling to, say, 40-something trillion above 36 trillion. They're not kicking the can down the road necessarily, but what choice do they have? This is very inflationary.
Well, it goes to the new external revenue service, the tariff push, you know, and and coming back to Liberation Day. That's necessary for driving revenues because they're going to do things that actually reduce government revenues. So the net effect may actually be to increase the debt even more, which wouldn't surprise us, and to push us deeper into a recession. I would argue we've been in a recession.
Yeah.
This president inherited a covered over recession that was covered over with government spending and hiring. And those two things are going away to the level that we've experienced them. And so as a result of that, you're going to get some recessionary, you know, realities pop in here because tariff, the effects of the tariffs will hit before the tax cut juice will. So eventually you'll have, with the permanency of this tax cuts, you'll get a little bit of economic resurgence, but it's going to lag the tariff impact. So for me, be willing to bite the bullet with the rest of the country if we're going to get on a more sustainable path, as Bessent said, and avoiding the crisis that was looming. Well, that's going to come with some pain. And what people are seeing is that it's better to have a tangible asset, own your own asset, put yourself on the gold standard and or silver, which is discounted gold right now, rather than just being merely exposed to that ride. And I'll tell you, my subjective feeling, and you can see it objectively in the charts, is that the equities markets aren't liking what they see. Rules are being rewritten. And the markets will figure themselves out, but there's a period of uncertainty here. And I do believe 2025 is another year where we will see, from a technical standpoint, bear markets in at least two of those three indices. And that's okay too, right? But as far as it's an indication of economic health, it's going to be saying that the economy's not healthy, when in reality, it's being made healthy. And the tariffs, to me, on these 25 countries today are a necessary part. If there's a laser focus, if there's clarity, and he comes out and delivers a very clear plan, very clear message, erases the uncertainty, the markets will adjust, the world trade channels will adapt, and all will be well.
Well, it's reminiscent for me, and obviously this predates me a little bit, but this almost feels like Volcker coming in and saying, hey guys, this is going to hurt, but we have no choice.
Yeah, and Volcker was attacking it with just one club. this administration has a lot of different clubs. You know, it's whack-a-mole with this administration, not just interest rates.
Yeah. So my hope is they don't rob Peter to pay Paul. My hope is always That's we right. rip the Band-Aid off, right? And my concern is we're taking steps to encourage internal U.S. growth and reinvestment and output. Output would be nicer than input for a little bit. But on the flip side, like you guys were saying, you can't just, you know, agricultural tariffs, you can't just go out to Ohio and flip the make potatoes switch. You know, like it takes time.
I think it might be corn, but okay.
Yeah. But my point being, like, it takes time for these things to retranslate back into U.S. production. So it's the same thing we're talking about with silver. It takes time. You don't get to decide when things happen. The world does not care what you want the time frame to be. You have to make the wise and correct decision, regardless of how long it takes for it to play out the way you know it's going to play out. And then you just have to wait until it does. So for me, I honestly, silver will move when it moves. So don't ask me again. I don't know what else to say there on that.
And what I would say is it is moving.
Yeah, it absolutely
has been,
is.
And it is.
It's doing at least as well as gold.
Well, if it weren't for gold's run, wouldn't everybody be just screaming about silver. The level of excitement in the silver market, up 30% year over year and 17% to start this year? It would be getting all of the attention. Gold is stealing the headlines, right, and barely outperforming it.
So. But, you know, we look at it from a technical standpoint. I know Robert Prechter and the Aiden sisters are on opposite sides of the gold move. Prechter is thinking we're heading into a top. The Aiden sisters are thinking it's going to keep going. So who knows? And they're both excellent technicians. The Aiden sisters and Robert Prechter, you can't beat them when it comes to technical analysis. The fundamentals don't look great.
That's right.
We are running out of money. We know the inflation is happening, period. I mean, we can go into the weeds if we want to. And seasonally, spring, unless this time is different, spring is still in the offing. We're just now entering the spring market, which is a very exciting time for metals on top of what we've already just had so far this year.
And geopolitics getting tenser.
Yeah.
Again,
I mean, Ukraine is not fixed. You know, Zelensky is moving away from Trump, moving over towards the EU. They want to have a war. They think we're going to be dragged into it because of our alliance with NATO. Israel wants to go after Iran and Gaza. And China just had live fire drills off the coast of Taiwan and the Taiwan Straits today. So, you know, you talked about uncertainty here domestically. It's uncertainty all around the world.
Yeah, Rob, I think that's a really good point. And I think that's a call for patience in this time of uncertainty. So, as always, we appreciate you joining us. If you liked what you heard, you can hit the subscribe button, ring the bell, head on over to our website at mcilvaney.com if you'd like to learn more about our investment strategies within the precious metals markets. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. And as always, if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio, please give one of us a call. We can be reached at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks for listening and have a great week.